vacation this morning, so remember them as they travel, and y'all be remembering us as we'll be going for the Ark experience coming up. This will be leaving out Thursday morning. We're excited to go, and some of them said, what are we going to do if it rains? And I said, well, just if we're in that Ark, we'll be okay. Let it rain. But looking forward to it. I do ask y'all to pray for us for safe travels. It always scares me when we're going that far off, but God take care of us. Have any prayer requests this morning as we get started?
I'd like to pray to continue praying for Joey and see how his surgery come out okay.
Amen.
Still having problems with the numbness in her leg.
Okay. Remember her.
Janelle's colonoscopies tomorrow.
Remember her. And can you remember her? We got many in our church that are suffering from different things, so let's just remember each other daily as we go to the Lord in prayer. And y'all remember Terry this morning, so he's preaching over to another church this morning for him. So y'all, I know he always stands in need of our prayers, so remember them. Have anyone else before we go to the Lord in prayer? Nobody else? We'll pray, then our singers can come. Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for many blessings you have blessed us with. Father, we just thank you for everything you've done for us, Lord. As we studied in our Sunday school lesson, Father, we just thank you for access to yourself, that you made a way that we could come boldly before your throne. Lord, I pray for each soul that's in this place this morning, Father, and those that are traveling or on vacation, different places. God, I pray that you touch them. I pray that you keep them safe as they travel back home to us. Lord, I pray for these in our church that are sick. Lord, those that are suffering from many different things, I pray that you touch them and dear Lord, just heal them back to their much-wanted health. God, I pray this morning that your spirit will be in our midst as we come to do nothing else but to worship you in spirit and in truth. God, I pray for our singers. Lord, I pray that you touch them this morning. Just let them sing praises unto you. And Lord, as we come to preach, I pray that you touch our lips this morning, that every word we'll say will be to honor and glorify the name of Jesus. For it's in his name we do ask these requests. Amen.
Let's stand and join us in our call to worship. Thank you.
Thank you.
This ark experience that we've got planned has gotten my mind. The Lord laid on my heart the what we like to call the children's stories of the Bible. But as you understand something, most children's stories are great, great examples of God's love and God's mercy and grace. And today we're going to be preaching out of the book of Jonah. This is one of my favorite stories. I say this about every story in the Bible, I guess. But this one is truly one of my favorites. And I began thinking about this story this week and about how we have taken it, and you always see it in children's books, and sometimes we tend to downplay about this. You'll see in children's books, you'll see a picture of little Jonah, and he looks just like this little cute feller, and he's run back and forth, and here's this little whale most of the time that's smiling that comes swallow him up. But this is a very serious story, the story of Jonah, and how it's a story about a man who decided to try to run from the presence of God. And I have known people, including myself, who tries to run from the presence of God. And I want to go ahead and give you, I don't want to spoil the story of it, but I want to go ahead and tell you a little advice is don't try to flee the presence of the Lord. Don't try to run from him. You can't get away. You can't get away from him. If I had a title for this message, and sometimes I title them, sometimes I don't, but this morning I did, and it's not just a fish tale. Not just a fish tale. I know if you begin talking to some people about fishing, you'll get some big old stories. I hear Landon tells me all the time about some of the fish they catch, and he'll say it was this big, or he'll post pictures, and I figured out you can make a fish look bigger by how you take a picture. You can hold it closer, you can hold it further out, or you can put it up against something. You can make it look real big, or you can make it look real small. But this morning, this is not just a fish tale. This is not just some story of a fish that some man made up. This is the word of God. So in Jonah chapter number one, I'm going to read most of chapter one for you this morning. And I want you to listen and truly take into God's what God is telling this man in this story this morning. It's in chapter number one, verse number one says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, and he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said, Every one to his fellow, Come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then they said unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us, and what is thine occupation, and whence comest thou, and what is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he answered unto them, I am an Hebrew. I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which have made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then they said unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be common to us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up, and cast me forth into the sea, so the sea shall be common to you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Father, we thank you for this word. Lord, we ask just a little bit that you open this word unto us, God, that we may understand the true meaning behind this. It's not just a children's story, God. We know it's a great story of your grace and mercy. And Father, well, what will happen to us if we try to flee your presence? And God, we ask you today, let every one of us see the need we have for you. For it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. I want you to see the directions this morning that God clearly gave to Jonah. Now, when you begin giving children jobs to do, or begin giving children chores to do, or begin giving even employees chores to do, you will always get this excuse, I didn't fully understand what you said. I didn't understand you meant to do that, or I didn't realize you meant to do this. You'll get excuses after excuses after excuses. And any one of y'all that are parents or employers or supervisors or anything, you'll realize that that's honestly the truth. But here God had given very, very clear directions. He told him, he says, go down to Nineveh. Go to Nineveh. He didn't say go to Nineveh if you want to. He didn't say you may go to Nineveh, or if you can go to Nineveh, or if you don't mind, go to Nineveh. God told him to go to Nineveh. And today I want you to think about something that you know within your heart, clear directions that God has given you. You know without a shadow of doubt when God has told you to do something. And listen, if you don't know, it's right here in this word. And that always starts with that. If you notice, it says, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah. In other words, it always begins with the word of God. You don't go off of what you feel. You go off of the word of God. That's how we get our directions. That's how we get understanding. It's from the word of the Lord. We don't have to fuss with it. And many people today try to change the word of God to beat what they want it to say or do this. But it's always been the word of God. It always will be the word of God. So God give him clear direction. Now I want you to see something else about God's directions. Is they're not debatable. You can't debate with God. You can't say, but God, what if we do it this way? Or God, what if we do it that way? If it's going to be done right, it's going to be done God's way, I promise you. My way's not going to work. Your way's not going to work. And is it not funny how we think we need to tell God what to do? God gives us clear instructions in his word about how to reach lost people. And all of a sudden, we decide we know better ways. God says, simply preach my word, and we'll say, well, but God, I think we may need to add a little something to that. God will say, you just tell your neighbor about the love of Jesus Christ. You say, wait a minute, God, I think I know a little better way. You see, that's how all of us as Baptists have come up with programs after programs after programs. It's trying to help God out, and I want to tell you this morning, God don't need our help. He simply needs us to preach his word and to teach his word, so God has given him complete directions. Listen, God's directions are still his directions, even when we decide they may be wrong. I begin thinking about some of the things that God tells us to do and some of the ways he tells us to do it. And in our thinking in 2018, and we can say, God, there's many different ways to do that. There's many different ways that you should go about this thing, God. I don't understand why you want me to do that. And to understand where Jonah was with this, you need to understand what had happened in the past. You see, in Nineveh, It was the capital of the Assyrian nation, and the Assyrians had been very mean to the people of Israel. And Jonah didn't want nothing to do with them. He didn't want God to deal with them because he knew something. He knew if he went down there and preached, and these people decided to turn from their sin, that God would spare them. Because he tells in the last part of the book of Jonah that he realized that God was merciful, that God was graceful, and he wouldn't destroy them. And Jonah had a need to see those people destroyed today. And I wonder today, is that the reason that some of us are so scared to tell people about the Lord? Is the reason we're so scared or just don't want to tell people about God? Is because we're afraid what he'll do. We're afraid that maybe he'll use that person more than he uses me. Or maybe he'll use that church more than he'll use New Harmony. Or maybe he'll use that bunch more than he'll use us here in Heflin. Or maybe we're just afraid to do it. But listen, once God gives directions, we must go forward with them. And I want you to notice something. If we don't heed God's directions, immediately we'll start a descent. You'll start a descent. You'll notice this, that Jonah decided, instead of going to where God told him to, it says he rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He decided, instead of going where God told him to go, he'll go a complete opposite direction. He said, I know God's got this will for my life, but I tell you what I'm going to do. I think it's way better if I would head down to Tarshish. And many of us make this same thing. Now you'll notice something. I told you it begins a descent. All the way from here until chapter 2, Jonah starts a downward spiral. It says he went down to Joppa. He left here and he was headed down there. This is what it says. It says Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare of them. He went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. When you're trying to run from the presence of the Lord, the only direction you can go is down. It's down. He went down to Joppa. He went down into the ship. He went down there into a room. And he went down, down, down. He wound up down in a fish's belly. He wound up in the ocean. Old Jonah was completely headed down. But Jonah thought that everything surely was going to be okay because he felt it was better that he did this. Boy, what messes do we get ourselves in because we think we can go off of feelings. And again, I want to tell you something. You cannot go off your feelings. You must go off the directions of the Word of God. But he started a downward descent. It's always, always there when someone tries to flee the will of God for their life. And listen, it says immediately he went down there. And look, what did he find? What did he find? As soon as he went down to Joppa, the Bible says he found something. He found a ship. And I believe at this point, old Jonah was sitting there thinking, yep, I told you I was right. Immediately I found a ship going exactly where I want to go. It's going the opposite way from where God said to go, but surely it must be the will of God because there's a ship just sitting here waiting on me. And let me see. I believe Jonah stood there and he said, how much is it to go down there? And they said, it's such and such dollars. And Jonah reached in his pocket and guess what? Lo and behold, he had just exactly that much money. And he said, well, surely this must be a sign from God because here lies a ship going to Tarshish. And here I got enough money to get on this thing and there's enough room for me. So surely this must be a sign from God that I'm in God's will. And be honest with yourself today. How many of y'all have ever went to buy a car or have you ever went to buy anything or ever do anything in your life and all of a sudden things that seem like just happens into place and you'll say, well, surely it must be God's will. And you haven't even prayed about the thing. We've all done it. We'll be sitting there and we'll turn our paperwork in, waiting on them. You know, that's the most stressful time you ever have, the car dealership, when you're waiting on them to come back and say you can't have it or you can't have it. We're sitting there. You know what we'll pray? We won't pray, God, is this your will that I have this car? We'll pray, God, if this loan goes through, then I'll know. We've all done it. We'll pray, God, if you provide this relationship, well, then I'll know where I'm supposed to be. Or, God, if you'll get me into this this job, or you'll get me into this school, or get me into this church, or wherever it may be, then surely this must be your will for my life. And that's exactly what Jonah was thinking. Man, this thing is working out perfect for me. I don't care what God's directions he told me. Surely he must be changing these things for me because I'm his prophet and I'm special. So he's prepared another way. Honey, I want to tell you something. If God has told you the right way, another way is not going to work. It may seem comfortable. It may seem right. But if it's out of the directions of God's word, do not go on it. Do not go on it. But here he is starting his downward descent. The ship's laying there. He's got just enough money to get on this thing. And boy, as soon as he gets on, things go downhill. He gets on this boat. Now, don't you see something? I've heard preachers preach that that you may be out in sin, you may be away from the will of God, but you cannot be comfortable. I want to tell you this morning that that is nothing but a lie. You can get completely comfortable out of the will of God. How do I know? Because it tells us in this story that the old ship took off from port, and immediately Jonah done something. He went down into the sides of the ship, and he went fast asleep. He immediately, listen, I want to tell you something. You cannot go fast asleep if you're not comfortable. You cannot go fast asleep if you're not happy with the state you're in. Jonah was completely comfortable with where he was. He knew in his heart that he was going the wrong direction from God. But in all of his disobedience, he had gotten happy in that place. Me and you too can do the same thing. We can say, God, I know I'm supposed to be doing this. I know you've got this call in my life. But I tell you what, I decide I want to go this way, and we can get happy in that place. And this, to me, is the most scary part of this story. This is the scariest part of it, is how comfortable we can get out of God's will. He lays there. He's fast asleep. And then you'll begin to see not only the directions God gave him, not only the descent, which was downward, but it starts Jonah's demise. It starts Jonah's demise. Listen, Jonah chapter 1, verse 4 through 17 says, the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea. There was a mighty tempest of the sea that the ship was like to be broken. And the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God. Now, do you understand what God's doing? Even when you're trying to run from the presence of God, if he's got a call upon your life, he will still use you. He can still use you, and he will still use you. Here was Jonah. He was in the ship. He had gotten comfortable, and God sent out a great storm. And I don't believe this is no regular storm. How do I know this? Because the Bible says that the mariners were afraid. And brother, you don't scare a mariner very easy. They've been on the ocean. They know all about the waves. They know all about the wind. This wasn't their first hurricane or the first time they've been in a storm. They begin getting scary. They begin getting scared and said, we don't know what to do. We've called upon our God and we've done everything we know to do. We've thrown all the food overboard. We've thrown all the stuff that don't need to be on the ship. We've done got it overboard. What in the world are we going to do? And they said, surely something's different about this storm. Something's different about this storm. And it said that the mariners were afraid and cried out unto his God, went forth the waters in the ship to the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down to the side of the ship, and he lay was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? And boy, I begin thinking about this. Church, it's bad when a lost man has to wake a saved man up, ain't it? It's bad when the world has to wake the church up. It's bad when the world has to shake us and say, what is wrong with y'all? Do you not see the shape that our world is in? Do you not see the shape that our communities are in? We hear about it on every side, and it's time that the church wakes up. But that's a different message. Listen, he had went to sleep, and the great storm had come, and immediately we see that Jonah is continually heading down, down, down. And we're fixing to get to a point where Jonah is in a bad way. But here are the mariners. They woke him up, the shipmaster, the captain. He said, what's wrong with you? Why in the world? How can you sleep when all this is going on? He says, arise and call upon thou God. If so be it that God will think upon us that we perish not. They realized something. At this moment, they began, I believe, talking to one another and said, listen, what's different about this storm? And one of them said, I don't know. We've called in our gods. Nothing has happened. We've done all these things. We've lightened the ship. But you know what? I remember this one little fellow that got on board. And he told me that he was leaving the presence of the Lord. So surely this God must be powerful. Surely his God must be in power. It says, so they told Jonah to call upon his God. And they said, everyone to his fellow, come, let us cast lots, and we know what cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. And this started Jonah's demise. Now they cast lots, and immediately the lot began falling on Jonah. It was evident what the trouble was. The trouble was Jonah. The trouble was this man who was out of the will of God. The trouble was a man who was not doing what God had called him to do. And he had started this downward descent. And now he started in his own demise, and something has got to be done. Now, can you imagine being these men right here? I believe even though they were sailors, I believe they were men that had hearts. They didn't want to see another man die, and then they realized that something must be done. So listen to what Jonah tells them. He said, and tell them to us, what caused this evil upon us? And what is thine occupation? And whence comest thou? And what is thy country? And what people art thou? And Jonah begins telling him, he begins witnessing to him, not even realizing what God was using him for. And Jonah said unto them, he said, I'm a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which made the sea and the dry land. At this point, he had their attention. He said, I know the God who made this ocean. Of all these waves that's round about us, I know who made these things. I know exactly what's happening to us. I know what's going on now. And Jonah has waken up. But listen, I wonder in my heart, why in the world at this point didn't Jonah cry to God? Why didn't Jonah have a change of heart at this point? Why in the world didn't Jonah say, okay, God, if you'll let this thing come and get me back to shore, I promise you I'll do exactly what you set me out to do. We'll never know why Jonah didn't do that. Simply, I believe it was because he had gotten so comfortable away from God. So here it is. He said, what is an occupation? He tells him, he says, I'm a Hebrew. I believe he told him also that he was a prophet, that God had a call on his life. He says, I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which made the sea, the dry land. And then were the men exceedingly afraid, said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. He had done told him he had fled from God. Then they said unto him, what shall we do unto thee, that the sea may come unto us? For the sea rock was tempted us. He said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so the sea shall be come unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. They said, Jonah, what do we do? He said, boys, you ain't got but one option what to do. Throw me overboard. Throw me overboard. That's the only thing you can do. I'm out of the will of God. The only thing you can do is throw me overboard. Boy, I hope we're not to that point today, church. I hope we don't get in our own lives that when we realize we're out of the will of God, that we simply just say, God, throw me overboard. We simply don't say, God, you're done with me. I just do this. You see, that's the attitude that we get so many times. It's nothing, but it comes from Satan. He says, boy, you're done. You're messed up. You're out of the will of God. So surely all you're good for is to be thrown overboard. So Jonah tells him, throw me overboard. We see his demise. He's going down. It looks like everything is bad for Jonah. He's about to be thrown into the ocean. Of all these big waves and all that, has any of y'all ever been out on a cruise? Anybody ever been out in the middle of the ocean? You can raise your hand. It's just scary. You get out there and there's nothing around you but this deep blue water, and there's all kind of things in there that can eat you, and sharks and all these mean things in there. But Jonah desires to be thrown in there. He says, throw me in here. So they throw him into the ocean. It looks like things is bad. Looks like things is bad. I can't imagine being Jonah and being so down that you was ready to be thrown in there. So they throw Jonah in there, and all of a sudden, not only is Jonah's demise, but we see a divine preparation. A divine preparation. Do you understand what it says in verse number 17? It says, the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. The Lord prepared it. And I began thinking this morning about this preparation. I began thinking that when you go back to Genesis chapter number 1 and the Bible says that God created the heavens and earth, and what does it say? He put the great fishes in there. And in all this, I believe at the time that God decided to create whales, he had Jonah in mind. I believe he had this certain whale plan. I believe he had his DNA planned out, and this whale was going to do exactly what God had called it to do. And you say, now, well, people argue about this stuff, and I don't understand why. There's even Christian people who say, well, there's no way that a whale could swallow a man. I want to tell you something. If you believe Genesis chapter 1, that in the beginning God, then why is it so hard for God to create a whale that can swallow a man? I believe it was a whale because you turn to the New Testament, and Jesus says it was a whale. So this whale swallowed him up, and this thing was prepared. I believe from the beginning of time, God prepared this whale. He had it prepared just right for Jonah. But I want you to see something else, church, that every one of us, at some point in our life, God has prepared a whale for us. God has prepared a whale. Something that will come along at a time when we're so down, we're in the deepest part of life, where we don't think we can go any further, then God prepares something to come and swallow us up. Boy, it looks like the darkest part of this story. As you tell it to a child and you tell them that a whale came and a whale swallowed up Jonah, all of them is going to hold their mouth. They're going to say, oh me, it's about to get bad, because when this thing swallowed that, we think that Jonah's dead. But I want to tell you something. This divine preparation come about protection for Jonah. He went into this belly of whale, and immediately he began doing something, didn't he? The Bible says as soon as he got into the belly of the whale, then he began praying. Then he began praying. How many of y'all have ever had a whale prepared in your life? Now be honest to yourself, you've had something that has swallowed you up to a point where you would begin praying. You've had something that would swallow your life up, and you had no other way out of this thing, and you knew the only chance you had was begin praying to an almighty God. I have had a well in my life, and you've had a well in your life, something that will get your attention, something that God has prepared. And listen, even in all that bad things and everything that must be in the belly of a whale, God was preparing this thing. He's preparing Jonah, and he was protecting Jonah and all this stuff. So in this belly of the whale, he began praying. Boy, if we just had the time to tell about each one of our divine preparations God had made. If we had time, I promise you, each one of us has one of these whales. All of ours are different. How many times have you read this story and begin thinking about this? Here Jonah was in the belly of a whale, and you think, God, how in the world could a man live? And this is another thing that Christian people even will begin debating. How could a man live for 3 days in the belly of a whale? How could a man live for 3 days in this whale? And you begin thinking, well, that's not physically possible. Let me tell you about a story. There was a man who was a sailor. He was a mariner himself. And he was out on a small fishing vessel. I can't remember what country it was in. And this thing sank. And this boat sank, and this man was trapped in there. He couldn't get out. This man survived 3 days in an air pocket. At the bottom of the ocean, I forget how many feet down he was. It was many feet. You can go Google it and find out about it. But this man survived. He had a Coca-Cola down there with him, and he drank this Coca-Cola, and he sustained him. And for 3 days, this man lived in a ship underneath the ocean. So if that can happen in these days, I want to tell you something. God can make a man live in the belly of a whale. And then you get into the great debate, and people say, well, did he die or did he not die in the belly of a whale? And honestly, I cannot answer that. But what I can tell you is in the belly of the whale, Jonah began doing something that he should have been doing the whole time. He began praying. He began praying out of this belly of the whale. And after he began praying, things began to happen. But listen, in that belly of the whale, we begin seeing Jonah's distress. Jonah's distress. Listen, chapter number 2. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me out of the belly of hell, cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, into the midst of the seas, and the floods can pass me about, and all thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters passed me about, even the soul, the depth closed me around, and the weeds were wrapped about my head. Could you imagine being in the belly of a whale? And the weeds was wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottom of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet as thou brought my life from corruption, when my soul faint with me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Boy, in Jonah's distress, all of a sudden, God begins using this man, doesn't he? In the bottom of the fish's belly, God began letting Jonah see some things. God began letting Jonah see what a blessing this whale was. And I want to tell you something this morning. You may be here on the sound of my voice, and you may be in the belly of a whale. Spiritually speaking, you may be in your spiritual whale. You may be there. You may be at a thing where you don't think anything good can come out of this. And you may be praying. You may be calling out. And you may be waiting. And you may be understanding something. That through this circumstance, God is doing something great. God is working something great in your life if you can just hang on. The good thing is, if God prepared the whale, that God prepared a way out of this thing. If God prepared it, then God's protecting. Then God's making a way. So in Jonah's distresses, he begins seeing the goodness of God. He begins understanding that salvation is of the Lord. That the only way that this fish has swallowed him up and he's still alive, after all these things he's seen in the belly of the whale, after all these feelings he's had in the belly of the whale, it's still God who's on the throne. How many times have we been at the lowest point in our life and realized that the only way we can keep going is God? How many times have we been at the bottom point of our life and all of a sudden we just have a great feeling of peace? And we have a great feeling that everything's going to be all right. And at that moment, we know that surely we can trust in the Lord. After this distress, after this prayer, things begin looking up. This is where you begin seeing things go from down to up in the life of Jonah. You see the deliverance in chapter number 2, verse 10. Listen to this. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. God spake unto the fish, and it vomited Jonah up on dry ground. Boy, what a blessing that must have been. What a deliverance that Jonah experienced him in his life. Listen, why must we be in the belly of a whale? A lot of us get into the belly of a whale because we try to leave the presence of God. We try to flee away from God. We think we know a better way than God. And God gets our attention through a whale. He brings something around to swallow us up. And we get into a distress and we decide something that we're going to turn to the Lord. And we make vows unto the Lord and we trust in the Lord. And then the Lord, he answers us. And he has that spiritual fish to throw us up on dry ground. Now, can you imagine what this fish must have experienced itself? Here it is. It's got this man in it. And all of a sudden, he gets sick at his stomach. And he throws this man up on the shore. Boy, it's a great story, isn't it? Does it not seem like a fish tale? Does it not seem like something that man would just come up? Listen, I believe with all my heart the story of Jonah is absolutely true. I believe it's true for you. I believe it's true for me. I definitely believe it happened to Jonah. But listen, I definitely believe that all this being prepared, that God prepared this fish, he prepared Jonah a chance to do what God had told him to. And this is the greatest part about this whole story, that this fish comes up and he spits old Jonah out on shore, and all of a sudden Jonah's given something that me and you all love to talk about. We've been doing it ever since we as children, ever since we our mothers and daddies would get on to us, or our teachers would get on to us, or our boss would get on to us. We all want what? A second chance. A second chance. Well, if you'll just give me another chance. How many times have I said that? How many times have I vowed that unto the Lord? God, if you'll just give me another chance. Just give me one more day, God. Just give me one more chance to preach that word. Just give me one more opportunity to do what you said. God, just give me one more opportunity. I want to tell you something. You're not here today by any mistake. You're not here because you got up this morning and thought it would be a good idea to come to church. You ain't here this morning because God gave you an opportunity. He gave you the breath. He gave you the energy. He gave you a desire to come to the house of God. You ain't here this morning because God has given you a second chance. You're here this morning for a second chance. He spit him out on dry ground. Things began looking up. Here goes Jonah. Chapter number 3. I didn't have a plan to do this, but you got to. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. Boy, is it not good that after that second chance, you see, God's not like I am. God prepared all these things to bring Jonah unto himself. And then here he is. God's given a second chance. You would think that Jonah would know exactly what to do, but God's word come to him again. He said, Jonah, he comes a second time. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. And here went Jonah. He went into the city. The Bible says that Nineveh was a great city. He said it would take 3 days to walk through the city of Nineveh. It was so big. And the first day Jonah began coming into the city, he began preaching, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Turn or burn. Before he began preaching. Turn away, or things are about to get bad. And the Bible says that the whole city, from the leaders all the way down to the peasants, got saved, got right with God. 120,000 people, I think it was saved from Jonah's preaching. But even in the second chance, Jonah didn't have the right attitude. God used Jonah mightily. He gave Jonah a second chance. But this is the saddest part of this story to me. It's more sad than even what I was talking about earlier, where he was so comfortable away from God. It's even sadder than the fish swallowing up. It's even sadder than all this stuff, that after all these great things that God did through Jonah. Now listen, as a preacher, I can't imagine preaching 3 sermons and 120,000 people being saved. I can't even imagine that. It seems that Jonah ought to be joyful. He ought to be walking on the clouds, man. He ought to be excited about this. But here, Jonah, you find him at the end of this story, still pouting, still down and out, after God had given him a second chance. Now, I've often wondered, why in the world does the Lord let this book end with Jonah this way? Read it. I'm not going to do it for the sake of time, but you read this. God did this. God prepared Jonah, found him a tree. God prepared a worm to kill that tree. And man, the story just went on and on. His mercy and grace just kept going on and on for Jonah. And why in the world did God let this story end this way with Jonah sitting there, pouting up under a pouting booth, is what Bobby Garner called it. Why did he let this thing in this way? You see, I believe it was done for me and you to understand something. This is not an excuse, but we're human, as Jonah's human. God puts a call on our life for God's purpose. God puts a call on your life. I question every single Monday. Now listen, by Sunday I'm ready to preach. But every Monday, I don't know why it is. I talk to other preachers and they this way. But every Monday, I am ready to quit. I'm ready to give up. The devil shows you all Sunday night about what didn't go right, what went wrong, what you said wrong, what you didn't say wrong, what you said right, what you didn't say right, who came, who didn't come, what happened, what didn't happen. I mean, you wouldn't believe what goes on in the head of somebody like me. I ain't just talking about me, the other preachers and pastors that's throughout all this land. You wouldn't believe what goes on inside their mind from Sunday to Monday. Every Monday, I'm ready to quit. And boy, on Monday mornings, I don't like it very well. And listen, on Tuesday, I'm liking it a little better. On Wednesday, I get way better. Thursday, I start most of the time getting a thought, or Wednesday getting a thought, or sometimes even on Tuesday. But by Sunday, I'm ready to preach again. I'm excited again. I believe God give us this story. Let us see that God's got a call on our life for his purpose. And that's all. It don't even matter if you like it. You don't got to like it. You don't got to like it. And listen, God wants you to be happy, and God expects you to be happy. But listen, he's got a call on your life, and he will use you, and he wants your obedience, and you don't even have to like it. Jonah hated it. He hated it. Jonah, after 120,000 people were saved, Jonah went on to a hill and sat there and waited on God to destroy him. But all of a sudden, he began turning to God. But God, Jonah was sitting there thinking, yep, I knew exactly what would happen. Because God, Jonah says this in his story. God, the reason I didn't go when you first called me is because I knew you would save them. I knew you would save them. And church, I want you to see something this morning, that God's got a call on your life. He's got a call on my life. It's not for your benefit. It's not for anything about you. It's all about him. It's all about him. And listen, you think, well, God, I could have been why didn't you make me a CEO of some big corporation, or why didn't you make me be a movie star, or make me good looking like that Beckham guy that was talking about last night, Stephanie Light So Good. God, why didn't you make me all them things? Why didn't you do all this? Listen, God made you for who you are for his purpose. And he is completely right to do it. He's completely in control. What I saw about all this, throughout studying all this and saying all these words, was in all of God's greatness, in all of God's grace, in all of God's mercy, he gives me an opportunity to say yes or no. Now listen, he can put me in the belly of a fish. He can be prepared a fish for me, and he can put some pressure on you, but ultimately, Jonah had to say yes or no. Jonah had to decide if he would go down to Nineveh and preach unto them people. It was still left up to Jonah. Yes, he might be in the belly of a fish again, or he might be completely dead this time. Who knows? But one thing's for certain, Jonah had an opportunity to say yes or no. It's always up to us. It's always up to us. Today, what will your answer be? God, don't send messages out for no reason. I believe there's someone on the sound of my voice that knows that God has got a call on their life. It may not be preaching, may not even be teaching. It may be something in the community. It may be something that's somewhere else that I can't even fathom. I don't even know what it is. But listen, I know God don't put messages on any preacher's heart for no reason at all. There's a reason for every message. And somebody here knows exactly what it is. Exactly what it is. Now listen, we could preach about all how bad it was inside that fish, because Jesus compares this thing. You turn over to the New Testament, Jesus compared the Jonah being in the belly of this fish to his own death and his own putting into the grave. He says, as Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and 3 nights, so shall I be in the center of the earth. He tells it. We could go about how scary it can be to fall in, to try to run away from God. I've heard preachers talk about who tried to run from the presence of the Lord. One of them drove a tractor and trailer, and he wound up backing over his own daughter one day before he's leaving on a trip. It was then, there in that yard, with a dead child, that he said yes to God's call. I'm not saying that's for everybody. I'm not saying it's going to happen to everybody. What I'm saying is that if you know for certain that God has got something for you to do, you cannot flee. You must say yes. You must say yes. When I say you cannot flee, you can, but I'm begging you, do not flee. Do not flee the presence. I look back from my own life, And I see that that was a time that I was new, without a shadow of a doubt, what I was supposed to do. I had direction from the Lord what I was supposed to do. I knew I was supposed to preach the Word of God. I didn't know about pastoring, but I knew I was supposed to preach the Word of God. And I said, God, you are wrong. And I started on my way down to Joppa. I was even still in the church. I was even still a deacon of the church. But boy, I was tickled. I was there. Things was going pretty good. We had built a new house, had a pretty easy job. And boy, everything was going good. So I said, surely that must be in my mind. That must only be in my mind. Surely that ain't what God meant. I'm in a pretty comfortable place, so I think I'm in God's will. And I knew in my heart what I was supposed to do. I tried to flee. And I'm not going to go into the story, but God prepared me a fish. And he swallowed me up. He swallowed me up to the point I still could say yes or no. I remember the morning that I said yes to the call to preach. I was there, and I had told my pastor about it that morning in the Sunday school room. And my pastor was Randall Moore, who don't have any pity on anybody. He was there, and I told him, and you know what he's at? I was expecting this big, long speech about how to be prepared and what you need to do and all this. And I began telling him in that Sunday school room as I was crying and weeping. I said, Brother Randall, I believe God's called me to preach. Do it. Just do it. What you waiting for? I thought, that ain't what I wanted. I wanted some big, long pastor speech. He said, do it. We got out there in front of the crowd. I haven't even told him I was going to say yes. Got out in front of the crowd, and he got done preaching. He stood up. He said, anybody else have anything? I thought, whoo, I'm about out of here. He said, I think Chad has something he wants to say. It was like he tied 5 knots in my stomach. I stood up, and I stepped out and just began talking, telling him what the Lord laid on my heart. I got done with my little speech. He said, be here at 6 o'clock tonight. He's preaching. First time only in my past as being a preacher that I've ever prayed that people would stay at home. I mean, I did. I went home. I thought you had to wear a suit and tie, what I've always been taught, so I didn't have one. Had to borrow a suit and tie that night. I remember I got there that evening. I thought, God, please don't let them come. Please don't let them come. And by this time, Steph, you done told everybody. And so I get there to the church, and the parking lot's just full. The whole building of Concord was full from the front pew to the back. And I was as nervous, I couldn't even hardly, my knees was weak, I couldn't even hardly go. But when I got there, behind there, that was the most comfortable place I have ever been anywhere in my life, was saying yes to the will of God. And listen, I don't know where it's going to carry me, but I know as long as I stay there, it's not going to be easy, it's not going to be perfect, but it's God's will. And you know what? You don't have to like it. You don't have to. But I believe when you get in the center of God's will, you won't only like it, you'll love it. You'll desire it. And since I said yes, it's what I desire. It's what you desire. You can't be happy doing anything else. As we stand this morning, I don't know who or what, who may be in the belly of a whale. I don't know what God's prepared for you. I don't know what God's got going on in your life. But I do know one thing. If you're saved this morning, if you're a child of God, he's got a reason for you. He's got a call on your life. You say, well, now, listen, I'm not called pastor. I'm not saying you are. You say, I'm not called to preach. I'm not saying that either. But I promise you, you have got a spot in God's Word. You got a spot. It may be a prayer warrior. It may be this. It may be something that you know what it is. It may be something you need to find out. But this morning, I'm asking you to say yes. I'm asking you to say yes. As we sing, you be honest with yourself. Don't flee any longer. Surrender to him.